There are going to be times where we might see someone walk into the door, and we might not necessarily feel very great about them walking in the door. That's a trait that might happen because of human flaws. That we see someone, maybe it's because of history we have with them, maybe a reputation that they have. A number of things could happen that could cause us to see this person walk into the door of the building, and we don't want them there. And unfortunately, that bleeds into the church. There are times when in the church, we don't want people there, and we will turn them away at the door. It can be very difficult to allow certain people into the congregation, into our presence, because of these thoughts we have as they come in. And while those thoughts can be very valid, that can be very dangerous. It can be very dangerous to turn someone away from the church just because of an assumption we have or something that we think about them. Tonight, I want us to look at Acts chapter 9 as we think about what it means to maybe not put on this attitude, as we start to look into this attitude that we need to put on. Acts chapter 9, we already had this passage read for us. Acts chapter 9, and we'll begin in verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and he had talked to them, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. At this point, we've seen one of the greatest conversion stories in the entire Bible. Saul of Tarsus, he's a man who was going and persecuting Christians. He went and consented to Stephen's death just a few chapters earlier. He went persecuting Christians, dragging them out of their homes, killing them, hurting them for what they believed in. And he believed he was right. And so for Christians, this is a name that was scary. Saul of Tarsus, this is a man that they do not want to be anywhere near. It's a face that they do not want to see because that means certain death. And yet he walks in here and says, I want to be a Christian. No. Why would you want to be a Christian? You killed us. Why would we want to be with you? And so it's justifiable to say, maybe we shouldn't let him in here. We shouldn't let him be a part of us. We can understand that from a human perspective, that it's not easy to let those kinds of people in the door. And yet Saul, we see, was genuine about wanting to change, that he was baptized, that he wanted to be a part of the church. And Barnabas steps in there and he says, I advocate for this man. He goes in there and he shows a different way to act. When those kinds of attitudes pop into our minds, we can see that there are two ways to handle the situation. And while the Bible does not directly condemn the man who turned Saul away, that did not want any part of it, it praises the attitude of Barnabas. Tonight, I want us to look at this key passage and surrounding passages to look at how to be a true encouragement like Barnabas. What does it mean to truly encourage individuals? What does it mean to be like Barnabas here, who stepped in and said, no matter what your history is, no matter what we think about you based on the things that you've done, I will stand here with you and help you to be the best Christian that you can possibly be. What kind of attitude can we put into our lives today to be a true encouragement like Barnabas? First of all, Barnabas saw that Saul had a change of heart. And that's a very key thing for us to recognize as well. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. We know this as the love chapter of the Bible. What does love do? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says that love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked. And key thing right here, does not take into account a wrong suffered. In other words, you're not going to hold something over people's head once you've cleared that up. You have an argument. You have a problem with someone else. You take care of it, and you leave that at the door. It's done. You're not going to hold that against them and hold it over their heads because, hey, remember that thing that you did? No. We are going past that. The Christian attitude there is to move past that because we love our brothers and sisters. John chapter 15 and verse 12. John chapter 15 verse 12 shows that Jesus had this kind of love. John chapter 15 in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And he talks in the following verses about no greater love than laying down your life for someone. And he's talking about the people that you like, for your brethren. But he died for who? Sinners. People that did not like him, that put him to death, that hated him. He still died for them because he loved them. And he says, love people the same way. Even when it's not easy, even when they hate you and persecute you, love them in the same way. Barnabas understood that. That even though Saul was a very difficult man to love in those days, that was not a person that was easy to love as a Christian. He still needed to love him. And that he needed to see the change of heart that he had within him and not hold his past sins over him. Help him to move past those things and to become the best Christian he could be. Number two, Barnabas saw Saul's potential. When we look at new Christians, what do we see? Do we see someone who is going to be in the same spot forever for the rest of their lives? This is all they can do, is the things they're doing on day one. No, that should not be what we are looking at in those Christians. We should see the potential in them to do great things, to grow. What great things can they do? We should not discount others' roles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll start in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 20. But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. We're one big body of Christ. And we need to have that same care for one another. And we can't say, we have no need of you, that there's nothing for you here. We all have that same across-the-board role to serve the body. And it's going to look different in each person. We can't say to one person that you have the same role as me. No, it's going to look different. And we have to encourage others to see that potential within themselves. Also, your encouragement might lead to something that we can't even possibly see in the moment. If you look at Barnabas and you look at Saul, and later as he calls himself Paul in his letters, would those epistles have been possible? Would the missionary journeys that took place be possible without Barnabas' encouragement? It's hard to say, but maybe not. You see, if Barnabas had never encouraged Saul to become what he became, if he didn't take an active role in his life and say, I want this man to be the best Christian he can be, that might have never happened. And Saul became one of the best missionaries of all time, one of the best evangelists. Would that have been possible without Barnabas? It's hard to say. Our encouragement of others might lead to greater things than we can possibly imagine. It might lead an individual to do great things for the kingdom, for God. And we won't know it until we give it a shot. It might be things that we ourselves cannot do. There are some people that are not made to be preachers or teachers or elders or deacons, but we can encourage others to be those great leaders in the church, those elders and deacons that we need in the church, those preachers and teachers that can go out and spread the gospel. That encouragement might lead to that. We just don't know. And so it's important to constantly encourage others, to constantly see their potential and to help them fulfill that, so that great things may happen for the church in ways that only God can foresee. Barnabas took an active role in Saul's life. That's the next thing to look at. Barnabas didn't just say, hey, you know, I believe in you. I think you can do great things. Now go and do it. I'll see you later. No. We look at the fact that Barnabas did not leave Saul behind. Let's turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 25. It's talking about Barnabas here in Antioch. He left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Barnabas said, I'm going to go and find Saul. He didn't just say, oh, hey, you're here. I might as well take you along. No. He went and found him. He went out of his way to go get Saul so he could take him to Antioch and do the work there for an entire year, taking on that mentor role for Saul to help him grow and to become what he thought he could be as a Christian. When we see younger Christians, when we see those who need encouragement, are we going to go out of our way to give that encouragement? Again, it's not an easy thing to do. It was not probably easy to go around to Tarsus and find Saul and then take him to Antioch. But Barnabas still did it. And he wanted to take an active role in Saul's life to help him grow, instead of just leaving him there hanging to find it out on his own or for someone else to do it. Because it's easy to get into that mindset. Well, maybe I'm just not super qualified for that. Maybe someone else can do it better. Barnabas said, I'm going to encourage him in the ways I know how. I'm going to take him with me to do the work, to get a hands-on experience too. That's another note. He took him to get hands-on experience, to grow trial by fire, essentially, to go and do the work in Antioch. It's not just about nice words and saying, hey, you got this. It's about going and taking them to go do the work. Are we going and doing that with younger Christians, for those who need that type of encouragement? Are we taking an active role in their lives? Lastly, Barnabas understood God's forgiveness. This is a very key thing for us to look at. We're going to look at several verses here. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10 first. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 and following. Hebrew writer says in verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, verse 17, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. God gives us that assurance that when we find forgiveness, he forgets those things. He wipes those iniquities away. How great is that? And Barnabas understood that. That even though Saul went out there killing Christians, doing one of the most vile things he could possibly do at that time, God still forgave him. He loved him enough to forgive him of those things, those horrible things, and let him be added to the church. Barnabas understood that. Let's turn to Psalms. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we'll start in verse 2. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Bless the Lord for that. That all of that can be wiped away, that we have a hope because of him. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We've seen what God will do, that God will wipe these things away. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 starts an interesting point. And we'll jump over to chapter 4 directly afterward. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Put a note in that. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. We see that parallel between those two passages. God will forgive us, and we should forgive others too. The same attitude he has towards us, we need to have towards others. That's the kind of spirit that Barnabas put on there. That he understood God would forgive Saul, and he's going to forgive him too. That's the kind of attitude we need to have as Christians today. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." That's the kind of attitude we need to have. The encouragement of Barnabas stems from these thoughts right here. That kind of attitude is where that stems from. If we put that kind of compassion into our hearts, if we look at the way God looks at encouragement, we're going to do great things for others. We are going to encourage them in ways that will help them greatly. Barnabas encouraged Saul in a way that impacted so many lives. He impacted Saul in a great way to help him become one of the greatest Christians that he could possibly be. And through him, through Saul and the work that he did in the future, impacted so many people. And we don't know what our work, our encouragement, can do through other people. What God will do in this world through our encouragement of others. What kind of encouragement are you putting on tonight? What kind of encouragement are you doing in everyday life? Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but everyday life with those who need it. Are you looking for others' change of heart, as Barnabas did? Are you looking for those active changes in others' lives to help you see, no, this is a change that they're making. I'm going to help them do that. I want to help them be better. Are you seeing their potential? Are you seeing what they can possibly do for the church and saying, I want to help you reach your full potential. I want to help you become the best Christian you can be. Do you take an active role in their lives? As we had talked about, not leaving them hanging. Going and helping them be an active part in the church. Are you doing that? And do you model the kind of forgiveness that God lays out? The kind of forgiveness that he shows each and every one of us. Before we can show it to others, he already gave it to us. And so we need to model that as well in our lives. What kind of encouragement are you living in your life today? Have you followed God's plan? I encourage each of us tonight, as we think about these thoughts of being encouragers, we also have to live the right kind of life ourselves. We can't help others live right if we're not living our lives correctly as well. And so as we think about God's plan for us, do we believe that Jesus is his son? If we do, we can repent of our sins. We can confess our faith in him and be baptized, fully immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, and live faithfully. It's not just once saved, always saved. We always have to keep pressing on towards the goal, living the right way. And maybe today you haven't been baptized. Maybe you haven't been part of the church. You can do that tonight. Or maybe you've already been a part of the church. You've stepped away. You haven't been living the right kind of life. May I encourage you to get back with God, to live a right life with him. Amen. If you haven't done that, if you haven't gotten your life right with him, why wait? Whether it's in private with him in prayer, or you need the encouragement of the church, you need to come forward, whatever it is that you need to do, why wait? Why wait until it may be too late? If there's anything we can do for you tonight, if there's any way we can help you make your life right, will you let it be known by coming to the front as we stand and as we sing?